Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be back at St. Peter's. It's been a couple years, I think, since I've been here. And I hope y'all don't mind if I stand up here in this space. I find if I stand in the pulpit, I bounce back and forth, and I feel like a hockey player coming off the sideboards a little bit, you know, so I have a little more room here to maneuver around as I wander here. You know, in this gospel reading for today, I'm reminded of my roots of being a farmer, and how convenient it is to dig a hole, right? This third slave gets this talent and goes out and digs a hole. In where I come from, I like to get my fingernails dirty and go out and dig a hole. Sometimes it's easier to dig a hole than it is to maybe do some other type of work, right? It's easier sometimes to go out and dig a hole. Well, this slave that is given this one talent does so because he thinks he's right. He's not doing it for any other reason other than that he has got things figured out. Now, the first two slaves that are given the most talents, I think they kind of joined up together because they do the exact same thing. Right? They kind of had to be in relationship with each other because they go out and they produce more with what they're given. And this third slave, he does what feels natural to me at times. He goes out and digs this hole and covers up what's been given to him in creation and keeps it safe for a while. He keeps it safe for a while. Well, when the master comes back, you know, this whole story about being rewarded, you know, the first two slaves, they grew what they'd been given in creation. And this third one, to me, his downfall, let's say, wasn't so much in burying the talent, but I think his motivation in burying what he'd been given in creation. And his response to the master, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man." So the slave kind of took it upon himself to understand the character of the person that had entrusted him with things of creation. And so he's kind of, you know, really kind of blaming the master for his actions. Why he felt the need to go out and dig this hole and bury what had been given to him for safekeeping. "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man." Well, that reminded me of some other people in creation that use their knowledge to be able to understand what it is that God the Creator has in store for each and every one of us. And I went clear back to Genesis, all the way back to Genesis. And I had to chuckle about this a little bit because I don't know how many times I've, you know, read this first creation story. When God comes to Adam and Eve, you know, and Adam says, "I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Well, Adam became naked because, you know, he'd eaten the forbidden fruit from the tree that God had told Adam and Eve not to eat from. But the point of this is, God asks, "Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Now, I don't know, you know, this is a little aside, but, you know, today we say it was an apple, right? For years, you know, it's always been an apple. Well, I have an Apple phone, and I don't appreciate that Apple takes a hit for this. I want to think it was a pomegranate or a pear, but anyhow, We can call it an apple if we want. So the man, you know, the man stands before God and says, the woman who you gave to me made me take a bite of that fruit. It's the woman's fault. And essentially, God's fault. Because God gave man the woman. So Adam is basically saying, it really isn't my fault, God. You're the one that did this. So then God goes to the woman and says, what made you do this thing? And of course she says, the serpent made me do it. Right? So even Adam and Eve have to go back to some form of blame as to why they're doing what they're doing in creation. And who better to blame than God, right? I mean, who else? And, well, if you're Flip Wilson, you would say the devil made me do it, right? But we'll use God in this context because we are Christian after all. So these people in the Bible use God as the way out of not doing what God has entrusted them to do. And so I think about in my own life at times when I've let my ego decide that, yeah, I know God is really pushing me in this direction, but I think I've got God figured out. So I'm gonna do this instead because I know what God is really thinking. Well, that can't be further from the truth, right? We don't know what God is nudging us to do unless we truly listen to God. Now, the first two slaves, they went out and did what they felt naturally to do. They went out and created more of creation. And I think they were able to do that because they were in relationship with each other. And when we come together and worship, when we come together to drink coffee, when we come together in our lives with each other, we help each other understand what it is that God has in store for us. So when God is entrusting us daily with God's creation, we need each other to help guide us and to understand what that is that God has given us. And not to dig a hole, not to do the easy thing and dig a hole and bury for some time in the future that God has entrusted us with, but to go forward knowing that God is clear out, God is so far ahead of us, we can't even imagine the distance that God is ahead of us. And it's our responsibility to catch up to God, to follow God in a way that the master entrusted his slaves with his creation. You know, there was a time in this process where your rector was struggling with what God had entrusted him with, and he and Sarah's and Rosie's and all of our future. And you know, it's that struggle of, it would be so much easier to dig a hole and bury what God has entrusted us with and keep things where they're at. Keep this one talent exactly as it is forever, right? Let's keep this talent forever. Let's dig this hole and put the talent in there and bury it, and let's keep it there. But God has entrusted us with many things. The most important thing is creation and furthering God's creation in his strong and unshakable kingdom. And so we have to support each other. We can't do it alone. We have to support each other as a our two great commandments, you know, love our neighbor and love God, right? I mean, what else do we have to do but support each other and trusting that God knows what's best? And so it's not only for this time, but it's for all time. God has entrusted us for all time to care for creation. No matter what it is that God is asking us to do, God trusts us to do the right thing. We can earn that trust by being in relationship with God and being in relationship with each other and not burying that one talent to save it for the future, but to use it to further God's creation in our world and in our neighbor's world. So it's easier to not dig a hole and bury a talent, but to trust God and go forth into the strong and unshakable kingdom of God. That's what we're called to do in this life and in the age to come, life everlasting. Amen.